Jesus promises something new, that the Holy Spirit would be in you, not just upon you, but take up residence in you. God Almighty, God the Holy Spirit, is in you permanently. That's why we're warned how we live and the things we do and don't do, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Inside our tabernacle, inside our little tents, the Holy Ghost is present there 24/7.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Join with us as we study through the New Testament book of John. Here's Pastor Bob.
Now the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will abide in you. Now that is big news. We're sort of used to it, but that's big news to the disciples, because all they had was the Old Testament. New Testament, they wrote, they began to write, and then Paul, etc., and Peter and John and James, etc., Jude. All they had was the Old Testament. So all they knew of the Holy Spirit was the Old Testament way the Spirit worked in people's lives. But the Holy Spirit abides in the believer. He is a gift from God in answer to prayer from His Son. A promise that Jesus made to us. I will pray the Father and He will send you the Holy Spirit. Another comforter, a comforter just like me. During His earthly ministry, Jesus guided, He protected, He taught His disciples. He smiled with them, joked with them, encouraged them when they were afraid or confused. But He's leaving them and He's going back to the Father. The Spirit of God, Jesus promises, would come to them. Why? He says, because I go to the Father and I will pray the Father and He will send you the Spirit. Get it? You have to have that. You have to understand it. You have to understand that Jesus is promising to go to the Father, not just somewhere out there where He can't be seen, but to go directly to the Father and sit at the right hand of God. Now, we can't see Him, but He told us what proof to look for just now, didn't He? What's the proof that I know Jesus actually rose from the dead? We know that, eyewitnesses, but He ascended to the Father. How could I know that? They watched Him till they couldn't see Him anymore. How do I know that He went to the Father? Because He said, I'll go to the Father, pray the Father, He will send you the Spirit. Did the Spirit come on the day of Pentecost? Didn't that prove to every true believer where Jesus was sitting right then, even though they couldn't see Him? Because He promised it. Now I don't need to see Him. We've got the proof anyway. And that's what He's promising. These are big deals for you to know and to hold on to. He's going to the Father. The Spirit would come and would dwell in them, taking the place of their master, Jesus Christ. He's still their Lord, but the Holy Spirit, God Himself, in us. In the Old Testament, which was all the disciples had, the Spirit would come upon an individual, man or woman. Remember Deborah? Remember Esther? Remember Ruth, etc.? Men and women. Remember Granny Ray, Rahab, the prostitute? Well, the Spirit would come upon that individual, man or woman, and then leave when the assignment was done. That's how it worked. or when they rejected or turned their back on God, like King Saul. And God left him because Saul wanted that. The Spirit did not indwell that individual. And so David, after his sin, when he's confessing his sin, he says, I confess my sin to you. You know, cast me not away from your presence. Please don't throw me away. And please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. See, the Spirit didn't indwell the followers of God back then. The Spirit came upon them and worked and would go back. And then the Spirit would come upon them. Samson, great example. Super strength, done. Okay. Spirit would have to come upon him again. Gideon, just look through the scriptures. And you see, the Spirit did not indwell those individuals. But Jesus promises something new, that the Holy Spirit would be in you, not just upon you, but take up residence in you. God Almighty, God the Holy Spirit, is in you permanently. That's why we're warned how we live. And the things we do and don't do, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Inside our tabernacle, inside our little tents, the Holy Ghost is present there 24/7. And he sees you when you're sleeping. And he knows when you're awake. And he's God. He takes up residence in you and in me, in every true believer. And how, when will he leave? He will never leave. He will be with you, with me, with every true believer through all eternity long. Now, here's something to write down or to remember in your heart. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. He will not lie. He cannot lie. He is God. The Holy Spirit cannot be associated with lies. The Holy Spirit will never lead you, has never led you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. So if you say, well, I want to do this, and it seems like it's okay with God. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never lead you into something that contradicts God's word. So it starts to be pretty simple to decide how you're being led here. If it goes against the word of God, then that's not the Holy Spirit, no matter how you feel or what little tingles or fuzzies or whatever happens. It doesn't matter what miracles or anything. Deuteronomy 13. There arises among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, and he, you know, prophesies something and it happens. But then he starts telling you something different than the word of God, or to go against the word of God. Don't listen to him. It's not the Lord. The miracle was real, but it wasn't the Lord anyway. So everybody get it. Just keep in mind the Holy Spirit is not going to lie to you or associate with lies. Holy Spirit never leads you or me or none of us to do anything contrary to God's word, because God's word is truth. Therefore, it makes sense what Jesus says next. The world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Why? They cannot receive him and they don't know him. They don't see him. Because the world lives by sight, not by faith. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? No. Yet he's in your heart, guiding you, encouraging you, bringing up some joy when you start to get so low, you're not sure what else to do. The Holy Spirit comes along. You'll open the Bible and you'll just notice that your spirit is just lighter. That's God working in you. But the world doesn't have that and can't have it because they walk by faith, by sight, not by faith. Also, the world does not know Jesus Christ. They reject him. And you can't have knowledge of the Spirit apart from the Son, right? You can't have knowledge of the Spirit apart from the Son or apart from the Father. Somebody put it like this one time, and I guess it does make sense. Without a radio, radio waves go unnoticed. How many of you have been noticing the radio waves coming through, the FM frequency radio waves just coming through this building? They are constant. They're nonstop. You don't notice them. Why? Because you need the equipment. You without a radio, radio waves go unnoticed. They're all around us. Without a receiver, that Wi-Fi signal just goes on and on and on without any bothering anything or anybody. It's still there, though. The radio frequency, the radio's still playing. But you can't hear it unless you have the proper equipment. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is unnoticed by the unsaved who have no spiritual life in them. The unsaved do not know or understand what the Holy Spirit is saying or even trying to say. They can't. The Holy Spirit may be convicting of sin, and yet they do not know that it's God's Holy Spirit that's doing it. When we recognize it, we know because we belong to Jesus Christ. We realize the Holy Spirit is leading. The Holy Spirit is guiding. People go, I don't hear nothing. Well, you don't hear radio without the right equipment. You must be born again to have God's Holy Spirit take up residence in you. Now you're the receiver. There was a Ray Stevens song, Turn Your Radio On, back there in the 70s. Get in touch with God, turn your radio on. Because everybody's a radio receiver. Once you're born again, you got God's Holy Spirit, and you're receiving the word, and you're listening now, and you're in tune. You're on the right channel. And that's what Jesus is promising to us. That's amazing. Verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. I will not leave you comfortless. Do you know that? Listen to this Greek word. The Greek word translated here comfortless is orphanos. Does it sound like a word you know? Yeah, we get our word orphan from orphanos. I will not leave you orphans is literally what it says. He's going back to the Father. I am not going to leave you comfortless or orphans. I will not leave you orphans. What does that mean? Well, think about what it means to be an orphan. Without protection, without any support, without someone to take care of you, right? Little bitty children. He calls them little children. I would never leave you without support, without protection, without someone to be right here to take care of you. Hold your hand and walk you through. I saw a little bitty girl today. I don't know how old she was. She was too little to be walking, but she was walking. So she just must have been really tiny for her. Her head didn't come up to my knee. And I'm standing there waiting for chicken. Quite a few people there. It's near lunchtime. And she's got this bright red hair and pigtails. Her hair's too short, so they kind of stick straight out. Bright red. All by herself. Comes out of the place where the kids play. She's got socks on and her clothes, but no shoes. Her back there, and her mother's sitting back there, and I'm standing here. This little bitty thing walks all through this crowd, not afraid of nothing. I said, hi. She just smiled at me, went on to the counter and said, we haven't gotten our food yet. And I thought, I could have never done that at her age, at the age. I couldn't have done it. I'd have been hanging on to my dad or my mom. You'd have never got me loose through that crowd. There was some ugly, I was there. There were some ugly folks there waiting for food. And they're all pretty rough looking. And most of them look like they're going to attack at any moment if you don't give them ketchup. You know, and I'm thinking, she walked right through there. And I thought, look at that. We're not all alone. I would never, ever leave you without protection, without someone to support you, someone to care for you. I will not leave you without the comfort or the supervision that you need. That's his promise. I will come to you. What does that mean? Jesus did die on the cross. He was buried and he was dead 3 days. He rose again the third day. When he rose again, he came back to his disciples, didn't he? I'm going to be gone. The world won't see me anymore, but you will. I'll come to you. And he came to his disciples to show them he is alive. He was dead, and they knew it. He showed them the nail prints in his side, from the spear. And he showed them, it's really me. And they were thrilled, and they worshiped him. And he came to his disciples alive and heading back to the Father. He comes to every one of us when we're born again. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. And he promises that it will come back and get us at the rapture of his church. He's going to come back and get us. The dead in Christ rise first. We were sure alive and remain. He's coming back to get us all. When the disciples saw Jesus after he'd risen from the dead, they understood what he meant. It took them that. He says, because I live, you will also live. They saw him die. Then they saw him alive. At first, they weren't sure it was really him. He proved it was him. Now it made sense. Because I live, you'll be just like this. If you die, or if you're waiting around for the rapture, either way, proof that you will be with me in heaven. Proof. That's what he's saying. Because I live, you'll also live. And we learn, because Jesus rose from the dead and he is alive, we who belong to him will also rise and live forever as well. Maybe never die if we're raptured, but certainly we'll still live forever with him. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments, he or she, and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. At that day you shall know I am in the Father. What day? I believe it was future for the disciples. It's history for us. What do I mean? I think he's talking about the day of Pentecost. I believe he's talking about the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit was given. That's when the church knew where he was. They believed. But there was the proof. Where are you going, Father? What are you going to do there? Make intercession for you, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit was first given. Then as every Christian, every person who received Jesus from then on is filled with God's Holy Spirit instantly. Think about the day of Pentecost. The entire church, the whole body of Jesus Christ, 120 people, in the upper room, praying. And every believer, how many? Every believer was filled, each one, with God's Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to go back to the Father. His proof that he was there was God sending the Holy Spirit. He gave you the proof you were looking for. Did you miss it? Proving that he was sitting at the right hand of the Father. He promised to return to the Father, and that the Father will send his Holy Spirit. So that day, each and every believer really knew it. Even though they believed it, they really knew it now. It just encouraged their faith that he ascended back to the Father, that now we know right where Jesus is. He said he would be there, and he is, because the Holy Spirit came. Now we have God's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is called His earnest. You know, when you put earnest money down, if you're going to buy property or something big, you'll put down. That's what the language means. God's promise is giving us His Holy Spirit as like a down payment. In other words, you have eternity and everything I promised. Here's the proof. Here's the beginning of the payment right here. God's Holy Spirit. His promise that He will keep all of the rest of His promises is the first one where He gives us His Holy Spirit, a comforter, to keep an eye on us, to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, to sometimes make intercession for us when we're too brokenhearted or too afraid or too confused or too sick to even pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us because He would never leave you orphans and comfortless. You're too weak. You're too little. You're just not strong enough yet. And the Holy Spirit says, I got this. Because He's a comforter. And Jesus says it. He's kept all His promises. This lets you know that you will know then that I am in my Father, you in me, and I am in you. There it is, everyone. There's your proof. When the Holy Spirit, when you got saved and the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart, proof that Jesus Christ is sitting there at the right hand of God, making sure that you're going to get there too, making sure that when the roll is called up yonder, you're going to be standing right there. Some of us much worse for the wear, but that's okay. It's all right. We'll have better bodies at that point. We'll be good. So what are we reading in all this? Christian love is demonstrated as a believer obeys the Lord's word. Christian love is demonstrated. His commandments, His word. And this is not when He says this, when He says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and the one that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is not, as some people say, see, this is a whole works mentality. You got to do enough good stuff and then God will love. That's not the language here at all. It's not a works trip or a works mentality. It's not that. Jesus is simply saying, the one who believes and trusts in me and walks with me and obeys my word is loved by God. Saving faith results in following Jesus Christ, results in obedience to God. Notice how it all ties together. I'll end it with this. Pastor McDonald, I love the way he says things. He says it like this. In one sense, the Father loves all the world because God loves all mankind. But He has a special love for those who love His Son. Those are also loved by Jesus Christ, and He makes Himself known to them in a special way. The more we love the Savior, the better we will know Him because He reveals Himself more and more. That's what he's saying. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Following God is not a pain. It's something that is new when you come to Jesus Christ. It's something that you go, wow, this is a different kind of life for me because things change rapidly. It is by God's grace. Listen to it. At that day, verse 20, you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Now, the one that has his commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves him. He's not saying, if you're bad, you really don't love me. What he's saying is, we're going to grow. We're going to mature. We're going to want to follow. Sometimes we're slow at it. Sometimes we're just right on it. But God's going to change you. Don't try to force it. Don't try to pretend that you're further along than you are. Just walk. Trust and obey.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.